Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE, factory-approved warehouse outlet.
Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
Just looking at box scores, you say, oh, James Harden, man, he's playing really well. As usual, this year, he's putting up a bunch of meaningless empty numbers, not playing any defense, and doing James Harden.
Yeah, he's not as good as he was James Harden 2 years ago, 3 years ago. Not much to
Nothing
say about
he can
him.
Do about it.
I just can't get too worked up over him because I've seen enough of what they are to know that this is it. The bigger question is he going to have enough numbers to get in the Hall of Fame? You know how we talk about that position being how difficult it is to get in. Numbers-wise, he's not going to match up.
When they come out and they're going to be looked at Hall of Fame discussion, it's Andre Johnson, Steve Smith,
Larry Fitzgerald,
Brandon Marshall, and Calvin Johnson are the same. They started around the same time. They've all had great careers. Is there any question who the best one of those guys is?
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, at AJ is the real, at Jongy Football, at Degenerates975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And if you missed the first 2 hours, lots of good stuff. Although, segment before last, I will just say we let Stanford Route talk about all the Cam Newton stuff. So if you want to continue that conversation, at sroute26 on Twitter.
Thank you.
Don't be on hold. Some of you still on hold wanting to talk Cam Newton. Not going to happen. And stop tweeting me about it. Just feel free to carry on with Stanford. Besides, we have a guest.
That's right. A man who will be making his UFC debut this Saturday. And what's the event called now? I guess it's because now it's a Fox card. It was going to be UFC 196. And then
it came, like a Fight Night 82 or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, Cain Velasquez dropped off, and then they replaced him with Stipe Miocic, and then Fabricio Verdum drops off. So they basically just said, okay, we're not going to charge people for this card, which I think is smart because they didn't really have a co-headliner that people would have paid $60 for. Mm-hmm. People would have paid $60 to see Cain and Verdum. They didn't have that, so they said, well, let's just make it free to the people, which I think is a smart move. So we'll be able to see it on Fox Sports 1. Mike Jackson is on the program with us, and Mike is making his – not only his UFC debut that day, he's making his professional MMA debut
yeah.
that day with the UFC. And there have been guys who have done this before. I believe Matt Mitrione is one that jumps to mind who hasn't fought outside the UFC. Brendan Schaub may be one. And I may be off on one of those two, but I know a couple of them there were football players who, you know, played or came basically through the Ultimate Fighter. But a while back, basically Dana White was like, we're not having that anymore. You got to have this many fights if you want to get in. You won't be the last to do it because CM Punk will do it shortly after you do it. But how does it come to be that basically what happened, if you don't know the story, Mickey Gall is a guy who's Dana White's been following around smaller promotions saying, hey, who's the next up-and-coming guy? And there's a thing called looking for a fight that he's doing. And he found this guy named Mickey Gall who won his first fight, won his debut, so he's 1-0.
Against a bum.
Well, that's who you're supposed to fight, your debut fight, I guess. So he wins that fight, and he tells Dana he wants to fight CM Punk. And Dana White decides, you know what? That's a good idea. I always thought they were going to find some kind of a way to give CM Punk maybe the worst possible guy on the roster that they could give him. That wasn't going to be good enough. They're looking to give him basically a free pass is what it seems like to me. But they decide they want Mickey Gall to fight someone first. And that ends up being you. Tell me how it ends up being. We need somebody for this Mickey Gall to fight. How does it get to where it's you?
Well, I got the call from Legacy. Legacy's ring announcer, that bald-headed gentleman that you see on TV.
That's right.
Colin Cantrell. He gave me a call, and he didn't disclose all the information about the fight. Actually, I didn't even know he was offering me the fight when I got the call, because I could barely hear what he was saying. And as he was speaking, the only thing I could think of was, why would you fly me to Minnesota to take pictures of Mickey Gall? Because it was presented to me as it would be on the Legacy 51 card, which is the day before in Minnesota. So that's what I'm, in my head I'm thinking. And then once he finished talking, I was like, okay, so what does this have to do with me? And he was like, you want to fight him? You know, in that Colin Cantrell voice. And I kind of, it threw me back for a second because I still hadn't comprehended everything going on. I kind of blew him off for a little bit. And I was like, nah, you know, don't worry about it, you know. And then I guess he relayed that back to Mick Maynard, the promoter. Mick called me, and he pretty much gave me the full disclosure of what was going on. And, I mean, I'm not turning down that opportunity.
Because, did you even plan on fighting professional MMA at some point? Because I know you've been doing a lot of boxing. You like kickboxing. These have been more of your passions in MMA. And now those scenes are starting to grow. The Muay Thai scene in Houston's growing to the point where, if you can do what you love and you don't have to deal with doing an MMA camp and deal with people taking you down and things that you don't like, why would you do it? Did you ever plan on pursuing professional MMA? Because I know you had some amateur fights.
I did, actually. I just graduated from University of Houston, and now I had a lot more free time. You know, I don't really want a real job. Hopefully I'm parlaying this into some type of media opportunity here.
Right.
But I plan on going back into jiu-jitsu full-time and wrestling and things like that. Even prior to this, I was still training in MMA. I was sparring with the guys, helping other guys get ready for fights, whether it be for Legacy or UFC or wherever. So I was training. I just hadn't given up on the full MMA aspect completely. I recently graduated. I had gotten back into the groundwork in MMA, and literally a week later I get the call. So it was more of a coincidence than anything, and, you know, it works out, you know. I'm comfortable on the ground. I'm not the same fighter I was 3-4 years ago when I first began. I'm at a different gym. You know, I'm at 4 ounce at the time. I was maybe at 4 ounce once, twice a week, if that, you know, because I was commuting from College Station when I was at Texas A&M. But now, you know, I'm training full time at 4 ounce. And so now I have a great team behind me, you know. So I feel great. I feel well prepared for this fight. And I think he lacks the skills to beat me.
Now, you assume, I don't know, maybe I'm breaking news to you, but when I hear that they're bringing you in, and you're a 0-0 guy, and they look at you as a stand-up fighter, they're bringing you in thinking that this is the way, because they're saying Mickey Gall, if he wins, he gets to fight CM Punk. If you win, you don't get to fight CM Punk. They're looking at it as, to me, it seems like they're trying to set you up to be the guy that basically, you're the guy that Mickey Gall walks through to get to CM Punk. Did you get that vibe when you start talking to them about it?
Well, when I initially was presented with it, it was told the winner gets Punk.
Right.
Once they broke the news, and I remember seeing it on Twitter, someone asked Dana, and he just replied with no. That was my actually first instance of hearing about this.
Right.
Yeah, I kind of got the notion that they were trying to set me up as the fall guy, and I'm cool with that. You know, for me, it's a win-win situation. I'm making my professional debut in the UFC. My brand, the whole Mike the Truth brand, is getting attention, you know, worldwide. I've been doing interviews with cats in Brazil. They're trying to fly me out to I would say Rio, and get some of those chicks on the beach, you know. So it's been a win-win, but I don't think they grasp my entire skill set, you know, because they've only seen the boxing and the kickboxing.
If you, let's say you don't win the fight, are they going to give you a second fight in the UFC, or do you think it's
This is it. I mean, for either one of us.
But if you win, are they going to give you another look?
If I win, for me, this is more of a selling opportunity for myself. And that's what they need in this fight. You know, Mickey Gall, any bum could have done that. You know, you go in a fight, Dana White just happens to be in attendance. You defeat a guy, you know, in your debut, and you say, hey, Dana White, I want to fight CM Punk. Anybody could have done that night.
Right.
This is a different, you know, a different scenario here. He doesn't have the personality that I have, the charisma. That's things that are going to sell fights. Obviously, CM Punk is going to bring the names and fans right. from professional wrestling. I'm like the cherry on top here. You know, we're going to get somebody in there, myself, that's able to help sell this fight and make it a more, you know, going to get more money. Because obviously, you sign CM Punk, it's a money grab.
Right.
You know, nothing else about it. And for me, I'm that extra incentive to make more money.
I said I didn't think that Sage Northcutt should have gone to the UFC. I didn't think he was ready. And under normal circumstances, I would say the exact same thing about you. I mean, do you feel like this is kind of weird even that this is happening? Is this almost like, I have no business being in the UFC, but you're fighting against a guy who has absolutely no business being in the UFC either. Is it strange for you when you think about it like that?
You know, I look at this fight as everyone in this entire love triangle, so to speak, doesn't belong in the UFC. This could be a fight. Anyone, any way you want to match up,
right.
Could be on a legacy show or a local show in any region. It just so happens CM Punk's name.
One of them is famous.
Right. You know, one of us is famous, and we're in the UFC now. For me, I just look at it as another fight. You know, people have been asking me about the pressure and things like that. For me, there is no pressure. And I think that comes from the side of the media personality. You know, I've covered UFC events. I cover Legacy, which is I feel is the second largest promotion or best promotion in the world. I cover them on a monthly basis. So I'm in these environments. You know, my life around MMA, I'd say about 90-95% of my life revolves around MMA of some way, you know, shape or form. So I feel that I have the experience dealing with the environment, the scenes, the cameras, the interviews. This is my life, you know, whether I'm in front of the camera or behind the camera. The only thing for me that's changed is the increased volume of interviews that I'm doing now. But other than that, you know, everything's the same, and this fight's going to be no different. I don't look at this fight any differently than I would any other fight that I've had in the past as a professional.
Did your fight get moved up to Fox Sports 1, or are they still keeping it on Fight Pass?
No, it's still going to be on Fight Pass, but once I knock him out, the highlight, you know. This is not going to a decision.
All right. That's Mike the Truth Jackson making his UFC debut on Saturday. You can see it on UFC Fight Pass, the main card, and the prelims on Fox Sports 1. I recommend you watch it. A lot of guys with Houston ties, Derek Lewis.
Teammate.
Is on the undercard. KJ Nunes, who has ties to Houston, is on that card. And Johnny Hendricks is the headliner. Johnny Hendricks versus Stephen Thompson, Roy Nelson, Jared Rosso. A lot of heavyweights on that card. So it should be a fun night. And Artem Lobov, if you remember him from The Ultimate Fighter, who's the buddy, or very close friend of Conor McGregor, another guy who this is. Tell you why he's in the UFC. All right, best of luck to you, man.
Thank you.
Enjoy the ride, and hope this. I'm looking forward to seeing that on Saturday.
There we go.
All right, that's Mike the Truth. I got to tell you guys, listen. If you heard Mike, he doesn't want to have a real job, so he's getting punched in the face. How many of you have jobs that you hate? You know, you're working crazy hours, or you're not making enough money, or you have to get punched in the face for it. Ask yourself this. How many guys do you know who work in the computer industry? I know a ton. Everybody knows a few. And none of those dudes are broke. They're all paying their bills because there's a ton of computer jobs out there. IT is consistently ranked as one of the fastest growing job industries in the country. The place you need to go to get the skills you need is mycomputercareer.edu. There's a huge demand for certified pros. My Computer Career has job placement specialists, easy for me to say, that'll work with you to get you hired. Houston's one of the hottest computer job markets in the country. There's companies all over Houston are hiring IT guys, but to get those jobs, you've got to have the skills and certification, and that's where My Computer Career comes in. And I know what you're thinking, school takes too long, I got bills to pay, I got too much stuff going on. Well, you don't have to worry about that at My Computer Career. You'll be in and out of school in less than a year. Financial aid's available, including the GI Bill. Go to mycomputercareer.edu. Take that free career evaluation today. It's the first step to changing your life and finally making more money. Mycomputercareer.edu. Take their free career evaluation. Tell them AJ with ESPN 97.5 sent you. Every breath you take, I watch you slip away. You slowly kiss
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Short segment here. Went a little bit over, but it was worth it. 713-780-ESPN is your number if you want to get in. 713-780-3776. Is the signal getting any better? Do we know?
No, probably it's getting darker. I doubt it.
I have no idea.
Jong has explained to us what causes this sometimes, and I don't get it. So there's a lot of things I just don't get. I'm just not that smart, apparently. But it has something to do with atmospheric stuff.
I'm guessing with the cloud cover and stuff like that.
But see, sometimes it will have these beautiful days and it happens.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's been pretty decent lately. Today was not a good day. 713-780-ESPN is your number. Dez Bryant has been saying a lot of things lately. Kind of wanted to get into two things that he said that I'm kind of starting to wonder about Dez. First off, he said the Cowboys, despite that 4-12 season, have moved one step closer to the Super Bowl. I honestly think we've moved a step closer, even though our record doesn't show it. I still think we're a damn good football team, and we had an unfortunate situation no one could do anything about. I think right now we had an opportunity to get our mind right and understand what we have at stake. This doesn't last long. This team won't be together for a while. We have damn near all the pieces together. We have to somehow get it back to where it's been. Okay, so to that point, I get what he's saying. Just last year we had disasters, but we can get it back to where it was. But I don't think you could take a step closer than you were the year before you were a play away. And then he also said he'd love to have Greg Hardy back.
You know what? I kind of understand a little bit because, listen, that's a good player. You want to have good players at on your team, right?
Yeah, although there were a lot of reports that he was a problem in the locker room.
There were plenty.
And, yeah, he only had – like, after Thanksgiving, he had 1.5 sacks of his 6, so he slowed down quite a bit. But, you know, I think that's a guy you need to try to, well, I don't know. If he's a big problem in the room, you probably need to move on.
Right.
But when he's at his best, and he really wasn't last year, I still think he's a little bit, he didn't play for a year before. Man, that guy's a hell of a player. I think if he could just make it work.
Yep.
Lamont said he was on the phone with insurance. I, too, had a bad wreck. Sorry to hear that. But
Jeez,
what's going on, man? Everybody's getting nailed now. But I said, I thought I heard the Blitz talking Cam. Am I wrong? Well, it was Stanford. And just want to clarify that. We asked him about it, and he kind of ran with it.
Yeah.
Beyond where I thought he was going to go. So that's what it was. Look, I get it. Some people look at everything and see race. Some people don't. I can't see it the way a lot of people are seeing it. That's all. Unlike Fred, I chased down my hitter and recorded his ass, and they're fixing my whole ride. Yeah, well, I couldn't chase anybody down because I was concussed and bleeding on the side of the road, and my vehicle wouldn't start.
All right.
So, you're better than me.
Yeah.
If I could have chased him down, I would have.
When I was on my motorcycle and that guy pushed me over into the curb, I got up and picked my bike up and tried to chase him, but he just got away. Something that happens.
People suck with that getting away thing. I still don't know how this dude survived, much less got his vehicle started and got off the road. But, oh well. I'm starting to notice something else. People that have used vehicles with dealer tags on them, the new tags.
Yeah.
Because that's what hit me. I'm thinking these people getting a lot of wrecks.
Oh, I'm sure.
Because they seem to be as bad a drivers as anybody. That's why they're having to buy used cars all the time.
Yeah.
That's my new theory. Anyway. I'm actually, you asked me about this earlier, and I've got a couple texts about it, if I got a new car yet. I'm actually going to wait a couple months because my son doesn't need the car yet.
And keep rolling.
And it's kind of nice only having to pay for one on insurance, and I'm going to have to pay for him at some point, which is going to send it through the roof. So, yeah, I'm just going to drive that for a while. And at some point, I think I've narrowed it down. I'm either going to get another Expedition or I'm going to get a sports car, one of the two.
I haven't decided. Look at you, midlife crisis.
Well, but
ride.
See, I don't want to be midlife crisis guy, which is why I'm leaning against it. But I've had sports cars my whole life up until this last, well, until I had kids, and then I got bigger vehicles. But my kids are old enough now.
Get a motorcycle, Fred.
No, I don't want to do that. If the way people drive in this city,
if you die, you die.
I don't want to die. That's why I look at it. I don't want to die. They're going to kill me enough in a vehicle. You take away my protection, and I'm even deader. I'm telling you, that 59 is hell. That is hell. That road is the road to hell. It is the highway to hell. It is all of those things. Those are the worst drivers I've ever seen. Anyway, and I still drive it every day, so I guess I don't know what that says about me.
I don't know. You're in and out of hell every day.
Mott says, drunk-ass old white dude. He was born in 1935. I asked him, you been drinking? He replied, yes, can't you tell?
Oh, well. God. Hey.
Oh, man. Wow.
It's better than lying.
Yeah. Well, don't drink and drive, people. You're bad enough drivers as it is without drinking. Okay. Well, I'm sorry here. I'm supposed to do. Yeah. Thank you, John. I knew that. Well, especially. Well, we'll get back to that. Hey, guys, time to start making your plans to go to the rodeo. And if you're from Houston, you know all about it. You've been before. It's a great, great experience. If you're new to Houston, this is one of those things that's really cool about the city. And you probably thought everybody rode horses and everything, get here, and it's like, well, okay, wait a minute. These people are actually kind of normal. They're bad drivers, but they're normal. But the rodeo is one of the coolest things that we have. And if you haven't been, it's a great opportunity to go. You get to see championship rodeo action, superstar concerts, and there's so much more to it than that. Because the carnival, the unique food and shopping, activities for the kids, educational exhibits, so much more. All of that going on, all for as low as $18. And if you go on a Wednesday, about $10. Tickets are available, rodeohouston.com, axs.com/rodeohouston. And a lot of great country acts, if you're into that. Kenny Chesney, Brad Paisley, Jason Aldean, Miranda Lambert, the band Perry. If you're not into that, there's Pitbull, Kid Rock. So you'll get to see a show. You get to see a great rodeo, and it's just a cool experience. It's a great place to take your family because there's so many cool things for the kids to do. If you want to go on a date, it's a great thing to do that. It's just a cool thing to check out. If you've never been to the rodeo, you need to go. And if you have, then you know what I'm talking about. So go get your tickets now. Go to rodeohouston.com for more information. Remember, $18 tickets are starting at, and $10 value Wednesdays. All available at rodeohouston.com or axs.com/rodeohouston.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. For more great sports talk, try Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM. Two great sports stations, two presets. Lock them in.
Lock them in. 713-780-ESPN. Well, Mott's this thing about uploading the videos. Dude offered me $43 to call it even. Okay, uploading. Yeah.
$43, huh?
Yeah. Huh. Disco Biscuit said, 8 months pregnant, I was hit by a drunk driver that tried to get away. His car broke down like 50 yards away. That's what I was hoping was going to happen to that guy. But Double Down says, we already know if I got a motorcycle, it'd be a trike like Pliny from SOA. Even that wouldn't protect me.
No.
I would. And then a lot of people saying 45 North laughs at your 59. 45 North's pretty bad. Honestly, I think 290 is the worst right now because
trust me, I drive 290 every day. I think it's the worst, but that I mean, I think everybody thinks whatever road they drive on regularly is the worst.
Yeah. Well, right now, and I think 290 is going to be great 30 years from now when they finish the actual construction over there. But the one problem with 59 is it has a lot of places where, especially at 610, where people are merging two different directions and a lot of traffic, and there's two or three spots on that that you have to deal with, and I mean you're crossing lanes while other people are crossing the other way, and it's just crap. And nobody thinks about the other drivers while they're out there; they just think about themselves.
Yeah,
and that's just that's my greatest frustration with humanity right now. Well, not my greatest, but it's up there. Is it? and not the blitzers, but people suck as drivers, and they're selfish, and they don't give a rat's ass about anybody else on the road.
How bad is it getting at Baylor right now?
That story is very disturbing. There's no question. And because now you're starting to see what looks like a pattern.
It's almost like a, it's not just a, yeah, like you said, it's not an incident. It's almost like a culture there, it seems like. And I think the craziest thing, and my wife is the one who really said this. She's like, I don't understand how these church-based schools aren't more particular about the athletes that they bring into the school. Because every other student would be, there'd be a ton of scrutiny about, you know, their church background, their personal lives, things like that. And she was like, why aren't they all like BYU, where they have this, you know, they have this code of conduct, you're kicked off the team if you can't do it. And I was like, well, because not everybody's like BYU, first of all. BYU's the they're not the standard. They're the exception than the rule.
No, and there have been times we've made fun of them for that, but you know what? If you're going to be that kind of school and you're going to have athletics, don't you think you should have those standards for your
athletes? I don't know, because I don't run a religious school, but if I did run a religious school or I was an alum of a religious school, I would want my athletes to represent that. You know, I wouldn't want a bunch of hooligans running around on campus raping chicks. You wouldn't want that anywhere, but specifically at a place like that, I wouldn't want it. Obviously the rapes are very disturbing, but what makes it more disturbing to me is it basically looks like they're doing everything they can to not let this come to light. And it always comes to light, you know.
Yeah.
That. I mean, listen,
yeah.
if the thing at Penn State came out, stuff comes out, okay? And maybe Baylor didn't want to because the issues they've had. Baylor's had a player get murdered by his teammate. It's a lot of crazy stuff has happened to Baylor. But when that happens, I know the instinct is to try to hide stuff that does happen. But it just makes it seem even worse when you get caught eventually. And you will get caught.
Yeah, and if you're not familiar with, there's an Outside the Lines report. It's on ESPN.com. And this girl who was raped by a football player named Tevin Elliott, who wound up getting arrested and charged with sexually assaulting, kicked off the football team and expelled. A few days after the rape, she went to Baylor's campus police department, asked officers if there was anything they could do for her, said there's nothing we can do because the assault happened off campus. A few days later, she contacted Baylor Student Health Center seeking counseling, said there's no one who can see you. You could, though, put your name on a waiting list. Maybe you should see someone off campus. Okay, I think that's, if that's true, that's ridiculous.
Well, and then the Sam Akwachu thing came, you know, after that, and he remained on the team.
Yeah.
And enrolled in school.
Yeah. I think this is pretty.
Phil Bennett said, I think he's going to play next year.
Okay. Yeah, crazy. I mean, I think this is common at a lot of schools, unfortunately. I mean, I don't think this is limited to Baylor. But considering some of the stuff that's happened at Baylor and what that university is supposed to represent, I think if I'm a Baylor grad, I'm pretty embarrassed right now. And somebody needs to be asking some real questions.
It's
there.
It's pretty crazy what's going on, man. Mm. Obviously, here's the question I have. When you're a football player at a school like that, you can get laid. It doesn't seem that difficult to me.
Yeah, but, you know, it's not about that. It really isn't. It's about violence. And apparently.
But why do you have to go to violence? I don't get it.
I don't understand. It's not something I identify with. But apparently there were several other athletes. There were 6 complaints against this guy. 6. The 6 woman to report an incident involving Elliot. And so they asked, why are there 6? And does the football team know about this? Does Art Browse know about this? And they were told, yes, they know about it. But it turns into a he said, she said. So there's got to be actually a court decision in order to act on it in any sort of way. Okay, by the 6th one, I mean, how do you condone raping six students.
Yeah.
I mean, I honestly would never send my daughter to Baylor, ever. Ever. And that's insane.
Well, like I said, it's becoming more of a culture than just a random incident here and there. There's too many times that this has come up. And I know, listen, if you're a Baylor alum or a Baylor fan, you probably don't want to hear it. I get that. Nobody likes to hear things like that about their school or whatever. But if you just look at things, you look at it on paper and the police reports, it's very disturbing. It's very disturbing. I don't know if there's – I mean, what can the NCAA really even do?
Well, I mean, to me, this goes beyond the NCAA.
That's what I'm saying. But, I mean, is there anything they can do?
I don't know. And it's I know if you're a Baylor fan, it's not the kind of stuff you want to hear. But the truth is, you should be asking these questions. What the hell's going on at our university?
I mean, I guess they can, technically, because, yeah. I mean, the Penn State thing went well beyond what should have been NCAA boundaries. And it became an NCAA issue as well. But this is something that they should be looking into deeply.
I agree. Double down. Baylor needs to hire the pastor from Footloose as president to clean up that cesspool. Boy, we're going back there. All right. Ronnie asks, do you think the Baylor story will affect national signing day? No.
No.
No, it won't make any difference. It really won't. I mean,
18, 19-year-old football players aren't the ones getting raped. They're not that worried.
No, they don't care.
If I'm Baylor, I'm worried it affects women's recruiting. I mean, the recruiting of these young ladies, because most of these girls have been athletes in other sports. I know the Okwachu one was a soccer player. I don't know. It's not a good thing, man. Not a good thing. I hate that it's happening, period, but I hate that it's happening in Texas.
Yeah, and I just wish that, and obviously, like I said, I think there's a lot of schools that if you went and dug into, you'd find stuff like this. But I would think there, especially now, they'd be hyper careful. So, anyway, somebody says, this is how outrageous this issue is. You guys agree with Nick Wright almost verbatim, yet Baylor can't figure it out. Well, if that's the case, I'm going to change my opinion.
Whoops.
Nothing wrong. Rape away, Baylor.
I would think almost every normal human is anti-rape.
You would hope so. You would hope so. So... And honestly, I have no idea what he would say.
The people defending it are the people who have a reputation to defend.
Well, exactly. Exactly. Well, we did everything we could, and it was a he said, she said. That's the kind of things that you're going to do to kind of cover up the fact that maybe you didn't act fast enough. And I think that's something that needs to be dealt with. And somebody there needs to take charge and say, okay, we've got to do this. We've got to do a better job here.
There are murderers who were caught in the act, and there's no question that they murdered someone. They still have to have a lawyer who's going to defend them. So, yeah. And that's their job. Baylor, it's their job to defend these kids as much as they can, but it's getting to the point where it's pretty ugly.
JSS, UH plus six, what do you think? 2 weeks ago, I would have liked UH plus six. I don't like the way they're playing right now. So, I wouldn't touch it either way. All right, guys. Tell you what, quick weight loss center. We've been sitting around and suddenly you looked in the mirror and you go, whoa, 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 wait, that's not me. Or you took a picture and you said, whoa, man, I need to lose some weight. Well, it's easy for that to happen. And it's funny because now that Facebook does those memories things, I see stuff pop up from 3 years ago and I think exactly the same thing. Man, how did I let myself get that way? Well, it's easy. Sometimes you're working hard all the time. You're in front of that computer all day and you don't have time to get to the gym. You don't eat right. And the next thing you know, it's out of control and you're thinking, man, I need some help. I need to get some weight off. Well, Quick Weight Loss can help you. They helped me lose 50 pounds. They've been helping people for 28 years. They can help you. You can lose more weight faster, easier, up to 100 pounds or more. No exercise required, no prepackaged meals. And the great thing is I wanted to lose weight so I could start working out again. If you just want to get the weight off, you can do that. If you want to do it for the same reason, it's going to make all the difference in the world. Maybe you try to go to the gym right now and you hurt yourself because you're just too big. Well, guess what? Get the weight off first, then get to the gym. Right now, 6 weeks for $66, all weight loss services included, and kids join free with parent enrollment. Some conditions apply. For your free, no obligation consultation, visit one of their 15 great Houston area locations. Go to quickweightlosscenter.com, or better yet, give them a call. 1-888-305-1117. That's 1-888-305-1117. Quick Weight Loss Center, 1-888-305-1117.
is The Blitz.
Don't you get it?
On ESPN 97.5. Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. So let's just jump right in with the dumbass report because we've been talking too much.
Yeah, we don't have a lot of time, so I've got one story. Don Harris, who's the president of the Maricopa County chapter of the NAACP, had just finished an event at Tempe Union High School District to discuss an incident at the school in which several girls wore black T-shirts with the N-word on them. Of course, there was outrage. The six students in question pulled ranks to spell out the word on their own. They each had one letter on their shirt.
Yeah.
Smiling gleefully to pose for an Instagram picture. Their punishment was 5-day suspension. This hurtful use of a racial slur is a complete disregard to the dignity of the black community in Arizona and across the nation, and the punishment does not fit the total ignorance and cruelty of the crime. Harris was on hand to accept apologies and demand actions, but after the meeting, while participants were speaking with the media, he was caught on camera saying Channel 12 reporter Monique Griego had nice rhymes with bits.
But healthy lungs.
Healthy lungs. I can't believe that someone in his position would not understand how inappropriate the comment was at the time he made it. He's the leader of the NAACP talking about the N-word and then making his comment that was more inappropriate than I could even believe. The news station reports Harris doesn't believe Griego heard him at the time and says he feels like he let down the NAACP. He calls his comment ugly and says it just slipped out, guy to guy. After the reaction, Harris now says he feels down in the dumps.
Thank God we don't get in trouble for that.
Then here's the best part. The New Times contacted Harris after the incident and reports that he said, and this is a quote, "I apologize if anyone was offended. I could have said nothing. I'm really effing sorry."
Hi, I'm Monique
Rego. Okay.
Well, lastly, can you just talk about the
nice
what?
Wow.
And then he says, "I'm going to slash my wrist. Better yet, I'm going to throw myself out a bleeping window, except I'm on the first floor. I'm one of the best GD people in the state." People criticized him when he first took over as the NAACP chair. He says, "I was the wrong flavor." He's a white guy. They've seen me now. They've seen what I've done. I've given up my law practice. I'm here 6-7 days a week. That's what my commitment is. I support now the women's organization. GD, are you S-ing me? Are you going to write this up? And, of course, they did.
But she does have healthy lungs.
She does, I'm sure, but I think that's so great. I wanted to have a whole dumbass report, but I could have talked about that show for a whole that story.
All right, best of tomorrow. We'll be back an hour early on Wednesday. Is that correct, John? So we'll be starting at 3 o'clock Houston time. Until then, stay sportsy, bitches.
Probably use 99 words for booze.
ESPN 97.5.